I'd like to start off with a very true but humorous story about an experience that a brother priest recounted to me some months ago that he had at his parish. He was sitting in the front pew of his parish on Saturday morning after the Saturday morning mass, and he was saying his liturgy of the hours, praying his office, and later on that morning he was aware that there was going to be a wedding in the church at about 11 o'clock, and this is at about 9:30. So, about 9:45, a woman who's clearly a florist comes in with all of the different flowers for the wedding, and she's setting up in the sanctuary, as you would expect. And finally, she comes in, and she's standing right here in the foreground in front of the sanctuary with this very, very elaborate and huge bouquet and arrangement in a very big vase. And she's putting in front of the sanctuary, doesn't like it there, tries in front of the pulpit, doesn't like it there. And she turns around and sees Father in the front pew and says, "Oh, do you work here?" And he says, "Yes." And she says, pointing at the tabernacle, "You know, I have this big arrangement. Do you think we could move the gold box?" Now, Father said to her, "You're not Catholic, are you?" She goes, "No." Okay. He used it as an opportunity to catechize her on who's in the gold box and why he gets to stay. That he doesn't get to be moved. Okay? He's a permanent fixture here. Everything else can pretty much move around, but he gets to stay. And by the same token, in the rectory this week, we decided as priests, the three of us, to give the catechesis and a refresher on precisely what the gospel points to today, which is the Eucharist, feeding of the 5,000, which will be followed in a few chapters by the feeding of the 4,000. Both of these miracles are foreshadowings of the institution of the Holy Eucharist at the Last Supper. Now, what we wanted to do this Sunday was to do a refresher, really, on the manner in which we receive Holy Communion. Because every so often, it seems like a good number of people have gotten off the tracks, or, as the case may be, just because of the nature of our parish, its transient nature, we have many new people who are perhaps not aware or have never been properly instructed or formed in this regard. I'm not going to focus my attention this morning on dress for Mass, although it seems at this time of year it always is a concern, or the kicking and slamming of kneelers, which always seems to be a perennial problem, but really just to focus on the manner in which we receive the Holy Eucharist. And interestingly enough, Father Belli mentioned to us priests the other day that just a few days ago, on July 28th, in Lima, Peru, the Pope's right-hand man, for he is the prefect of the Vatican's Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments, said this. His name is Cardinal Antonio Carizares Llovera. This is what the Cardinal said. "If we trivialize communion, we trivialize everything, and we cannot lose a moment as important as that of receiving communion, of recognizing the real presence of Christ there, of the God who is the love above all loves." And Cardinal Llovera would go on to speak about how, in his opinion, although it's not law, that he would recommend that Catholics receive communion on the tongue while kneeling, perhaps a foreshadowing of things to come, or a return to a custom once lost. But for the meantime, some things should be said about receiving Holy Communion. The first, of course, is even before we get to Mass. Many people, I think, have lost sight of the fact that there still is the discipline of a one-hour fast from food and drink minus water for medication. Coffee and juice are not medicinal. Neither is the chewing of gum or breath mints. Some would even argue smoking is a violation of the one-hour fast. And it's not the 1 hour before Mass begins, but an hour before you receive communion. which is an important distinction. Also, when we come up for Holy Communion, it's important for us to be reminded that we are required to make an act of reverence prior to receiving Holy Communion, which means, in the prescribed way, is that when the person in front of you is receiving Holy Communion, you bow from the waist, or a profound bow, as we call it, but you don't bow once it's your turn to receive, because the minister may say the body of Christ, and he's prepared to place the host on your tongue, and you bow and receive it on your forehead. Okay. Which is not what the idea is. So to keep the lines moving, if you will, you bow as a person in front of you is receiving. There is only one proper response that needs to be audible to the minister of Holy Communion when he says, or she says, the body of Christ. And that is Amen. Many people don't even mumble a word. And if you're in my line or in Father's line, you will hear us say it for you. But that is not our job. And Amen is not to be replaced by, when I say, the body of Christ, we are. Or, I believe. Or, yes. Or, okay. Or, thank you. The only response is Amen. It's two syllables. It's Hebrew. It's not hard. But again, many people come up just unwittingly, not really realizing what they're doing the moment they find themselves in. And that response by the communicant is not simply, I believe. You know, the devil believes in the real presence. So it's not enough to say, Credo, I believe. It's actually more appropriate to say, Amen, which means, so be it in such a way that I pledge my very life on the truth of the sacrament you are placing in front of me. Not just simply, I believe. That's very convenient, because I might disbelieve tomorrow. But pledging my life is a lifelong project. Also, if you receive on the tongue, it's very important to do this properly. We've had problems with this as well. When you receive on the tongue, Father DiMartino says, the best way to do it is to let your tongue rest on your bottom lip. The 10-meter springboard diving board tongue is a recipe for a diving of the Holy Communion onto the floor. Okay. Or the gritting of teeth, or the biting of the minister's hand. All of these things draw blood. It's important just to slightly tilt the head back, let the tongue rest on the bottom, and to open your mouth sufficiently that the priest or the minister can put the host on your tongue. I can tell you that biting is very painful, and it is most gruesome for the person to receive after you, after they see my hand bloody. And I have to tell you, that has happened, and actually here. I've actually gotten bitten before, right? And it's unfortunate, but it happens. Now, if you're going to receive communion in the hand, if you must do that, there is actually a correct way that this is supposed to be done. And I want to demonstrate that for you very, very explicitly up here this morning. Most of you tend to be right-handed. I'm actually left-handed, but I receive communion as a right. And what I mean by that is, if you're right-handed, you're usually going to put your right hand forward as your dominant hand. And you're going to put your left hand underneath, flat, like a throne. And then when you receive the host after saying Amen, you take your left hand, index finger and thumb, off, taking the host off your right palm and placing the host in your mouth, in front of the minister. Not as you're walking away, not when you get back to your pew, certainly, you won't make it past the ushers who are guarding, just make sure that no one takes Holy Communion back to the pews. But to receive Holy Communion in front of the minister, right hand on top, left hand on the bottom, I have seen this popcorn style receiving. You receive in the hand, poop, like it's peanuts. ball game. Or people who pray up their hands like a valley, like this. How is the priest or the minister supposed to put the host in your hands if they are V'd like this? It has to be flat. This, of course, is all presuming your hands are clean. It is incredibly dissatisfying to see the phone number of the person whose phone number you got at the party last night on your hand, or the stamp from the bar that said you were 21 and allowed to drink. Now, you might say, you know, Father, you guys just nitpick at these things. There are many things in the church which are negotiable. But this is about Jesus himself. This is the Eucharist himself. And if you notice the great pains that the priests go to in purifying the vessels, in having communion patens held by the altar boys to catch a host, you see the elaborate ceremony we do here when a host is dropped. I mean, you know, there are a lot of other things that we can negotiate on, but when this comes to actually Jesus Christ himself, substantially present, body and blood, soul and divinity, there is a correct way and everything else is incorrect. And it isn't one of those things where if we have 90% participation, that's good enough. Not here. 100% participation in the correct way. Because it's not about my preference or me. Maybe really up to me, we'd all have a communion rail, and you'd all be kneeling down. It's a lot faster, and it's much more reverent, I think. But give it time. But really, this is about our Lord and doing the best for Him. And again, in a world where things are so casual these days, and everything has been so diluted and dumbed down, the one moment every week when we have to be completely locked in and zoned in on precisely where we are, what we're doing, and whom we're receiving is in that brief encounter we have with the Lord at Holy Communion. Hence our concern for the manner in which our Lord is received here. So I want to offer you those suggestions, those guidelines, really maybe even stronger than that, those commandments on how this is to be done. And again, overall, I've always been very edified here by the reverence that the overwhelming majority of people show for Holy Communion and the Eucharist. That is just the culture of this parish, and thanks be to God. It takes years for that to be built if it's lost. But this has been given to you today as a reminder so that we don't lose it, that we don't lose this reverence, but that we maintain our love for our Lord Eucharistically present in His body and blood, soul and divinity in our midst. This is the greatest gift the Church has, the source and the summit of her very life. Without the Eucharist, there is no hope. And without hope, there is no salvation. Let us turn to our Lord with great devotion today, begging Him for the graces to be personally present to Him as He is personally present to us under the appearances of bread and wine. O Mary, conceived without sin.